Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight in studio, we have Deb and Debbie. Deb Breton and Debbie Woods. And Debbie Woods is the owner of Get Me the Gig, a staffing company that finds jobs for people all around the world.
Yes.
Correct? Okay. And Deb Breton, we have the extraordinary, brilliant, incredible artist. And we also found out that both of these Debs, one Deb and one Debbie, are both artists, and we will get into that.
Yes, welcome to Living Proof, both of you. Hello. Let's have everybody hear your voices. So, Deb, could you please say hello? How are you doing?
Hi there. This is Deb Breton. Okay. How are you doing?
Yeah, good.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. And Debbie, hi.
Hello, this is Debbie Woods. Nice to be here, too.
All right.
To see you all.
Welcome. So Deb and Debbie will be celebrating their 19th year together, January 15th, which next week.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a week from Monday.
That's pretty exciting.
We want to know all the plans.
We're going to make them right here.
Yeah. Okay.
But you're rather new to Sonoma County.
Oh, yeah.
So we want to hear your story, but first, how you navigate the world and everything. But first, we're going to hear from our news and events with Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia.
And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise unafraid, I'll rise up.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio news for the week of January 7th, 2018. Iraqi forces have captured a terrorist who has appeared in numerous execution videos where gay and bisexual men, as well as others, fell victim to violent deaths. Local media reported Abu Amir, also known as Whitebeard, was captured last week in the northern Iraqi city of Mosul. Pictures on social media showed the terrorist with a man who is reportedly a member of the Iraqi forces, as well as surrounded by an entire group of Iraqi men. Amir appeared in videos where individuals had been beheaded and stoned to death for the crime under a Sharia law of homosexual acts. The use of these types of videos by ISIS has increased as an attempt to gain notoriety and rally homicidal radicals to its immoral cause. While U.S.-backed Iraqi forces successfully retook Mosul in July of last year, and most ISIS officials fled, some, like Amir, have remained behind. Amir was reportedly discovered following a tip from local civilians who gave up his hiding spot to Iraqi security forces. And here in the U.S., a federal judge in Illinois has ruled in favor of allowing a Northwest school district to continue granting transgender students the right to use facilities matching their gender identity. Judge Jorge Alonso's 15-page ruling upheld the opinion that anti-discrimination statutes extend to trans and gender nonconforming individuals. A group of more than 50 families sued the school district back in 2016, arguing that allowing trans students to use bathrooms and locker rooms matching their gender identity instead of only the gender assigned to them at birth violated the privacy rights of cisgender students. Those families have ironically claimed that including transgender students in anti-discrimination policy somehow amounts to preventing the cisgender students from having access to non-discriminatory education. The families are looking to appeal, but considering the judge's refusal to issue an injunction, it seems unlikely that they will prevail. And here locally, Listening for a Change invites LGBTQ youth and elders to participate in a project to collect oral histories. If you're a member of the LGBTQ community and under 40 years of age or over 80 years of age, you're invited to participate in a workshop that will teach you how to give an oral history and then participate in one of two video mini studios with panels of either LGBT youth or elders. Thanks to a grant from the LGBTQI Giving Circle, these workshops will be offered at no charge. The workshops are available throughout Sonoma County starting on January 20th, and you can learn more about how to participate at listeningforachange.org. And finally, registration is now underway for the LGBT Studies program at Napa Valley College. This spring, you can study 21st century issues facing the LGBT community on Thursday nights at 6:30 p.m. starting January 18th. You can register now at napavalley.edu. For a calendar of LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. And for all the LGBT news headlines we're following, go to our website at outbeatnews.com. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diane and Sheridan, and I'm Sheridan. And in studio, we have Deb Breton and Debbie Woods together for almost 19 years. Well, next week will be 19 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So listen, I wanted to tell everyone out there who's listening how we met these two lovely, lovely people.
Aliens,
yes. Anyways, LGBT, and you probably have out there heard of LGBTQI++ Bowling League at Doubletree in Roanoke Park. Closer to Doubletree. The Double Decker Lanes. On Tuesday nights, I went and joined the league. People were bugging me. Diana, you need to play. You need to go bowl. And I went bowling, and it was so much fun. And I met this woman who had the biggest smile and who was so welcoming and so friendly. And she was a jokester. And I love those kind of people, y'all. You know that. And so we laughed and we had fun. And she's not afraid to laugh loud. And it was really, really nice. So we decided, no, I think that was it. So I was bowling, and then I was at Oliver's, and in the parking lot I saw this Debbie driving a hot rod car. Ooh, it was sporty and it was really sweet. And I say, hey woman, what you doing here? And we just talked and we just had such a wonderful time. And I just said, you know, I think my wife will like your wife and we should hook up. And the four of us, you invited us to Himalayan food. And it was a wonderful first date for us.
You're giving everyone the wrong idea.
No.
We're completely monogamous,
all
right,
y'all? No, it's not like all of that. Us are. But oh, you know yes. what I mean. All of us are. But, you know, I'm just saying, we don't meet people too often, and you get along.
You click.
That was something special there. So,
right. We had a really marvelous time meeting you and sharing food with you and learning about you. And so over the next couple months, we, you know, kind of kindled our friendship and invited you on the show. So here you are. And we're very excited to introduce you to Sonoma County, you being new, rather new. I don't remember how long you've been here. So we're going to have you both introduce yourselves, and you can tell us a little bit about how you moved out here and stuff like that. So who wants to go first? Deb. All right, Deb, the artist Deb, and Debbie, get me the gig, Debbie, will speak second. All right, so Deb.
All right, my name is Deb Breton. I'm an artist. I used to turn wood, and my mom got sick and lived with us under hospice, and I couldn't go in the shop anymore because it was too dangerous, so I set up a little studio in the room next to hers. And then I started painting. And then later on, we moved to the West Coast. And the painting pretty much was my release when my mom passed. And I used to paint kind of dark stuff, but now it's all about empowering women and people that inspire me. And I do abstract, but anyway.
How long ago did you move? I didn't.
We've been here, what?
4 years.
4 years.
4 years.
Okay.
4 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we didn't know a soul when we moved here. No.
What brought you to a little old Runner Park?
Oh, my God. What? The people, the food.
God.
Everything, all the products, Shikai and all that stuff, it was all from here.
And we lived on the East Coast.
We were on the East Coast.
Where were you?
Outside of D.C.
And what are the products? What did you say? I don't know what you said.
Shikai.
What is
hair,
that?
Our hair product.
I don't know what else.
They're all made here?
They're all here.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It's like, we're looking at each other going, holy crap, that's made in Sebastopol. Holy crap. So, yeah.
So why Ronert Park versus, I mean, did you come and check out all the different little cities
we went,
around?
Yeah, we went all over. We, oh my God, we put what, 1,400? 1,200. 1,200 miles driving all over the North Bay area. We went to Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yes,
we were going to, yeah, we birded a little bit in Santa Cruz.
Yes, we did.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
So trying to land somewhere that's going to be home.
Yeah, and we stayed at the Best Western because they had the best, they had like 5-star or something. So we said, we'll make that home base and we'll go to Sebastopol because that's a good place for art. And it was really, it's hippie, we're kind of hippie-ish. So, so we went there and then we would go every day with the realtor looking around.
Okay. All right.
So,
and you landed in Ronert Park. Okay, great.
Well, thank you, Deb.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Debbie Woods, hi.
Yes.
Would you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, wow. Originally from Florida. Was born on Miami Beach. My standing joke was that my mother was a sea turtle. Lived there about 28 years and moved to the D.C. area and pretty much spent the next 24 there. And really never thought about living in California because I was scared of earthquakes. And so my background is 35 years in technology. I was a consultant for most of it. And pretty much you can get a job anywhere as in technology. But when we decided to take a look at California, since we'd had an earthquake in Virginia, and I thought it was a truck turning around in the circle
in the driveway.
It didn't scare me. Yeah. It didn't scare me at all.
We lived in a cul-de-sac.
I see.
And so I said, let's go to California and see if we can move there. And we fell in love, just totally fell in love on our first vacation here and couldn't get it out of our mind.
Yep.
And then we chose.
Six months later,
we came out for a week and said, we have to buy a house. And we bought a house
and
the rest is history.
Wow.
We signed.
Yeah, we signed it on your birthday.
On my birthday.
Yeah.
Oh,
so it's like, ooh.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What a great story. So do you miss the weather?
There?
No.
Oh, God, that's part of the reason we moved.
Oh,
it was
I
the
see.
Heat and the humidity. And
the snow and the cold.
I like snow.
I didn't mind the snow. Although
you don't want to shovel.
I don't want to shovel it anymore. And all the kids that were in the neighborhood are all grown up and gone to college. But they used to shovel it.
Yeah.
Shovel the driveway for
Give
20
them 20
bucks.
And
there's no one there.
Then there's nobody left.
Uh-huh. Anyway.
Huh.
Wow. Huh. Interesting. So I just want to let everyone know that I've been trying to coerce Debbie to share more of her talents, but she's trying to hold back a little bit here. But this is a woman of many talents, and I want to encourage her to share a few more of those that she hasn't even spoke of. She is also a singer and been in the music world forever. And you both are animal keepers. And I would like you to share some of that story because what you've done for animals and how you talk to animals. And it touches me the way you love them so. So that's just a couple other things. But I got a few more on this list. But if you want to speak to those, that would be great.
We could talk about the animals. When we lived in Virginia, we had 8 acres of wetlands behind our house. We didn't own it. But it was really kind of cool. So you had all these different types of animals. And we had a herd of deer that we fed every day. And when I moved there first before I met Deb, and that's a whole other story.
Oh, but, I can't wait to hear that story.
That's a fun one. So I was
deer.
Living there
okay.
single.
Got mail.
And I literally would come home from work and there would be this doe in my yard waiting for treats, and I got to the point where I could literally cut an apple, put a piece in my mouth, bend over, and she'd come and take it out of my mouth. And I also had raccoons that lived under the deck, and I would go out every morning and feed them their breakfast, and she would go get a piece of food and then come over, give me a kiss, and then go back and get the rest of her food.
And
she raised children on our deck, and we had foxes that raised their kits. And then in the neighborhood, everybody knew me as Miss Debbie, and they would, any injured animal they found, Miss Debbie, can you fix this? Miss Debbie, can you fix this? And so we became known as the, you know, the healers of the wildlife, and we saved a lot.
The two lesbos that took care of all the animals.
What?
The two lesbos, she said.
Did people know you were lesbians?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Uh-huh. Yeah, we were out.
They had, it was crazy back there. They had Bill 751. So,
what's Bill 751?
At the time, you couldn't get married there, and all of your
paperwork
was null and void because they didn't recognize that if you lived together,
their relationships didn't matter in Virginia.
And when she got really sick in
2004, I was in the hospital. Yeah,
yeah,
we were really scared that she wasn't going to get to come visit me.
But so what happened?
No, ICU called me and said we think Deb's had a heart attack. In addition to, you know, I had to call 911. It's a whole nother story, but shall I say anything? You want me to say anything?
It doesn't matter. Go for it. Yeah, I had MS.
Okay,
I mean, that's part of the issue. Is I had multiple sclerosis, and I don't anymore. But that's another story.
Yeah. Anyway, she got really sick and was throwing up, and I couldn't lift her, and so I called 911. And they send someone out, and I get it, and we go to the hospital, and then I go back home to get stuff for her to stay overnight, and they call me from the ICU, and they say, Deb's had a heart attack, we suspect, so bring the living will and whatever else you have. I'm like, okay. And I said, but I'm worried about Bill 751, and she goes, well, what is that? I said, well, supposedly, I'm not family. I can't get into ICU. And she said, well, if you can't get in when you buzz, you tell them to come to me. And she gave me her name. And so I brought all the paperwork and got there. And fortunately, they didn't give me a hard time. But, you know, you hear stories about that.
I know. But just to have that stress, that possibility where straight couples don't have that.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. It's like, you know, straight couples take that for granted.
Yeah.
And
but I have to say I love the doctor who said, you know, contact me.
She was really great. And I actually wrote a letter. I wrote a letter because they treated Deb like gold.
Oh, they treated me like gold.
Mm. I mean, she was in. You were in there for how long?
I was there at least a week, close to a week. Yeah.
And every nurse, everybody.
It was scary.
Was just, they took care of her, and they didn't see me. They saw me as somebody who was by her side, her partner. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah, so I wrote a letter and said, you know, I know about Bill 751, and I really appreciate that everyone on your staff was just so human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of, they could have easily called their religion into it and said, well, I can't, you know. Mm-hmm. But they were really...
Yeah, and we lived in a county that was notorious for being Republican.
So you could
and
be...
So
5 miles away from our house.
Yeah, it was pretty scary.
We had
pretty
somebody
scary
got their house burned down.
For being gay.
These guys got their house burned down.
So it was pretty cool that they were so open. And our whole neighborhood, actually.
They all and
they were all very, very kind.
They're like, why didn't you call us? We
would have come
get
over
her.
And helped you get her up.
Yeah, they were so good to us. We had really great neighbors back in Virginia.
Not as nice as here, though.
No.
Oh my God.
It's so awesome here.
Rock is amazing.
It's like living in another country. I feel like I'm in Europe when I'm
I pitched myself in the morning still 4 years later.
Yeah.
Hmm. What do you, why?
The people.
The people, everybody is kind and loving.
It's like we went to a Christmas Eve party with people we've met over the last couple of years, but we never really socialized with them other than at the coffee shop, right? And they invited us for Christmas Eve with their family. And it was just us and their family.
Because we have no...
We don't have any living
have any family.
Family.
I have a brother who's
got
sick.
Dementia.
He has dementia.
And I have
back
no living
in Florida.
Family.
And so, yeah, we don't have anyone. Our
and they invited us and treated us like gold.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just the most amazing holiday ever.
Thank you, Susan Mack.
Yeah. And Jared.
And Jared. they were so, so beautiful kind to us.
And it was awesome. We just hung out with them. You know,
talk about feeling blessed.
Oh, yeah. And you know, in traffic, rush hour here, people stop and let you in. They don't do that on the East Coast. They don't.
It's true.
Oh, LA, I think I heard that too. They don't do that at
all. Oh, I'm sure they don't.
In LA. I mean, here was traffic and they let you in.
And they stopped.
And one guy didn't. And I said, see, he's from Northern Virginia. He's got to rent a car. He's not from here.
This is awesome. So you were talking about helping animals and then you said, but that's how we met. That's another story.
Oh.
So let's go into that other story. You seem like you're so compatible. How did you meet each other?
Online.
Wow.
Love at AOL.
Love at AOL.
And there was a room called Deep Thinkers and Academic Women. And I had placed an ad in there because I was seeing a therapist. I had had a really horrible breakup. And I was seeing a therapist. And she said, why don't you take an ad in the local rag at the time, which was the Washington Blade. And I said, no. I don't want anybody in Virginia or D.C. No, thank you.
Uh-huh.
But she said, you got to at least write the ad. And so I went off and I wanted to do one better. So I wrote the ad and I stuck it on the internet, thinking nobody would ever respond in a million years. I got 35 replies.
In this room, Academic Women?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I got 35 replies, and one of them was Deb, but it wasn't a reply. So she had written me to say,
hey, I looked at your profile, and it's just like mine, and I'm a normal person, so good luck to you.
That's all you said?
Pretty much.
Wow. What made you want to reach out like that?
I don't know.
Because you had an ad, though, down there in Florida.
Yeah, my boss put an ad out for me. She's like, I want you to have somebody. I'm like, no, it's been 2 years. No, I'm happy. I got my friends. I'm good. And she said, now we're going to do something. And so she started to write something really cheesy, you know, like, I like walks on the beach and crazy stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, no, that's not what we're going to do. If we're going to do this, let's do it right. So I put out an ad. And
how did you start yours? Instead of the walk on the beach.
I don't even remember. Oh,
okay. And I never saw her ad.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we were, and I just saw her profile because I'm like, I didn't even know what this was about. Joanna, my boss, she's like, you got to do this. Oh, girl, you got to do this. This is really cool. You're going to meet people. And I'm like, I love my life just how it is. Thank you. I like having the remote control. What I want, watch what I want. You know, I was content to be by myself rest of my life and go, you know, we could have a thing, and I'll go to your house. You can come here, but we ain't never living together. I did not want that.
At 35, you're doing the towel.
I just knew what I wanted.
Oh, okay.
And then I.
But then, go ahead.
You saw Debbie's profile, and you said, "Wow, I'm normal. Yeah. Good luck to you. You're like me. Yeah. Good luck to you."
Yeah, because you hear the stories, like, you know, there's axe murders and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
it was terrifying. This was back in the 90s.
Come on.
This is the internet hadn't been around that long.
So how did you respond to Deb's, I'm a normal person, good luck to you?
Well, I went ahead and looked at her profile, and my God, it looked very similar to mine.
Yeah, they were really similar.
And I was like, oh, that's really cool. Where are you in Florida? Because, you know, I'm from Florida. I lived there 28 years, right?
Wow.
And so she said, oh, I live in St. Petersburg. Well, it just so happens my best friend in the whole world was from St. Petersburg. We were together in graduate school, and she was in St. Petersburg during the time that we were getting to know each other online. And so it turns out I used to hang out at the mall literally 2 blocks from her house. And it was like, did you ever go to the Tyrone Mall? And she's like, oh, God, all the time.
I'm like 10 minutes away.
And so next thing we know.
You're in a chat room.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I ended up in a chat room.
Remember the chat rooms? God, that's a long time ago. God, I feel so old.
Is that like 50 people can be chatting and you have to figure out who's talking
to
you?
Yeah, you have a name in the box.
Yeah, and they say, so-and-so invited you to chat. Do you accept? And you're like, oh, I don't know, you know. But if you know them, you're like, yeah, yeah, hey,
you start
up?
Chatting,
you know.
And we were in a chat room. I was in the chat room with my best friend, and I had asked her to drive by the address she had given me to go check
sure
Deb out to make sure she was real.
Oh my gosh!
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, so it ends up, she did, and she went and checked her out, and we got back online. And Deb, I would come home from work and check all these people who had been responding to my ad.
Yeah.
And gone out with a bunch of people. And one date and out. It was horrible. I had a list. My therapist made me make a list of 10 things that I would not compromise for a relationship. So after each date, I'd come home and take a look at the list. And if they had 3 strikes, they were out. So I never went on a second date. So You've Got Mail, remember that?
Yeah.
From AOL? So every day I'd come home and I'd hear, You've Got Mail, and I was hoping it was her ID. Not, you know.
Do you remember what it was, though?
Yeah, W2MG.
Oh, yeah, Web Cruiser.
So basically, you know, we would just, we got in a chat room, and Kathy was there. I invited her in, and next thing I know, my friend embarrasses the heck out of me.
What are your intentions with Debbie?
I'm like, asked her
and
that.
I'm in another text with her in another, you know, chat. And I'm like, what the hell? You know?
Could the other people, that everybody else in the chat room can be in that conversation?
Not in this. Well, not in our personal one, but in the real one. Yeah. And she's like, I'm so sorry about that. You know,
I had no idea she was going to ask her what her intentions were.
I have no intentions. Debbie and I compare notes on what's going on with our dates. That's really what we were doing.
Yeah,
like
every day.
Oh, we went out with this one, and she had. She was like crazy, and then this one had prison food.
Oh, I had the hairy one. I had a woman that was covered in hair. I thought she was like Sasquatch. It was hysterical.
And then we had the prison food.
Oh, you had the prison food. Yeah.
What does that mean, prison food?
Oh my God! I'm sorry. This is a date from hell. I won't say any names, but we want to meet at this Italian restaurant in Tampa, Florida. Okay, so we go. I go and. I get in the parking lot and I see someone who's comes walking up to me with a glass of champagne glasses and a bottle of champagne. I'm like, are you? Yeah. What's going on? What's the occasion? We are. I'm like, oh my God, please. This is the stuff they warn you about, right?
God.
It's like you just hear,
she's all ready to bring the U-Haul.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God. And then we were going to go to a movie afterwards to see, well, I don't even want to say that just in case. I don't want to make fun of anyone. But we were going to go to a movie, and I don't know Tampa that well. And I said, well, I don't know Tampa that well. I'm from St. Pete. And she said, okay, no worries. Just follow me. I'm like, okay, cool. And then, of course, the light turned, you know, red. And I'm like, oh, I better stop real quick, you know. And so I thought, I was hoping she would keep going. But she didn't. She pulled over. So I did have to go to the movies. But you know, like 2 weeks later, I got this message, kind of the crazy message on your answering machine. Hi, Debbie. We went and saw Happily Ever After. Remember? Anyway,
wasn't your
so
type.
Those are the bad stories that you hear about, right? And those are the stories actually I got warned about.
Mm-hmm.
Patty's dad, remember Ed?
Oh yeah.
Ed told me, you don't want to meet any psycho killers. You got to be careful. There's crazy people out there. And there are. You got to kiss a lot of toads.
Uh-huh.
Or not necessarily. Even
well, you have
them.
To meet a lot of people. Yeah. You have to go through it like you did. And mm-hmm. Some people get lucky on the first, second try. And some people have to go through the
Well, I made my best friend
list.
Meet her first before I did.
That's kind of ingenious, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. They met at Tyrone Mall.
Did you know who you were meeting, or was she undercover?
Actually, it was two of her friends, both named Kathy.
Yep, both
Kathy and Kathy. And
Dr. Gill.
But we made plans to meet at the mall, and I saw both of them and a little kid, and I thought, okay, that's smart, because, you know, you don't know. You hear all these stories. And so I meet her, and we walk the whole mall, and the other Kathy leaves because I'm obviously not a threat. And the other Kathy leaves. We walk the mall, and meanwhile, Kathy's telling me all about Deb. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, do not give her raspberries. Oh, my God, she loves calamari. All this stuff. And... Well, it's true.
She was supposed to be checking her out for me. Right. And she's telling her all my secrets.
And we hit it off. I had the best time with her. And I thought to myself, you know, you can tell a lot about a person by the company they keep. And I really liked her. And she was intelligent and funny and all. And I thought, I hope this Deb is something like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And as soon as they got done... My friend Kathy calls me. She goes, book a plane flight.
Oh.
As soon as you can.
You just gave me chills.
She said, if she lived in New York, which is where Kathy was from, she'd be my friend. And in all the years I had known her, there had never been a time where she'd be friends with anybody I ever dated. Wow. And I was like, oh, man, I better get a flight.
Wow.
And I did. I booked a flight, literally.
Yeah.
And it was 7 hours late. I sat in the airport because of an ice storm. For 7 hours?
7 hours. And you had to call my work.
And I had to call collect because back in those days.
Back in the day.
There was no cell phone.
Back in the day.
You know, and there was a little pay phone, but I didn't have any change and I couldn't leave the gate.
Oh,
so, you know, because they kept saying, oh, your flight's going to be here in a minute. Your flight's going to be here. 7 hours later, the flight wasn't there. And it was like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. But they never canceled it. It was meant to be.
Yeah.
And so basically, I arrived 7 hours and 30-something minutes late. And
you could smoke back then in the airport.
In the airports, you could still smoke. And
we both were like, let's have a cigarette.
We gotta have a cigarette because I hadn't had a cigarette since like I left the house in the morning. And I was like, oh, I'm dying. So,
of course, now neither one of us smoke,
but that's a whole other story.
Okay, so that's be a good place for a break, and then we'll get back to the story after the 7 hour wait at the airport.
So it sounds like your meeting was perfect.
It was.
So could you talk about the song that you brought tonight?
You're supposed to.
Deb? Yeah, the song, Pink.
Come on.
Okay. So Deb and I, we disagree on music. We have two different. Distinctly different styles of music. But one thing that we can agree on is Pink's Perfect.
And I absolutely just love that song because nothing for nothing, we're a perfect match and it fits perfectly.
Oh.
Made a wrong turn once or twice, dug my way out, blood and fire. Bad decisions, that's alright. Welcome to my silly life. Mistreated, displaced, misunderstood, misknowing it's all good. It did.
Yeah. swallow the fear. The only thing I should be drinking is an ice cold beer. So cool in line, and we try, 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 but we try too hard, and it's a waste of my time. Done looking for the critics, cause they're everywhere. They don't like my jeans, they don't get my hair. Exchange ourselves, and we do it all the time. Why do we do that? Why do I do that? Why do I do that?
Back on the air. Hi, everybody. If you just joined us, we're in the middle of a discussion during the song. And that was a beautiful song by Pink called Perfect. And we are here with Deb Breton and Debbie Woods together for almost 19 years. Our anniversary is next week, January 15th. And we're so happy to have you in studio tonight, both of you.
It's great to be here.
Before the break, we were talking about how you met online, and Deb was basically telling us the story. So, Debbie, we'd like you to add anything else there is to add to the story about how you met, and once you got your ticket and your seven-hour wait, what happened when you arrived?
Our first date was the movie You've Got Mail, which was so apropos because we were just living it. And we went out to dinner. Deb took me out. No raspberries. I had calamari. Mm-mm. We did a walk on the boardwalk. Yeah, it was great. And one of the rules, I had to meet her cat, and the cat had to like me, and the cat loved me. And I called my boss like 2 days later and said, I'm going to be staying in Florida a little longer, and I wanted to extend my trip, and the rest is history.
That was it?
Yeah. I mean, literally, that weekend was it.
And then we were frequent flyers
for a while. For several months, we had $300 phone bills. That was before long distance was free.
Yeah.
And we flew back and forth. And I was diagnosed with MS, and I told her about that. And I knew I wasn't going to be able to fly anymore once I started taking this medication. I was gone. Mm-hmm. And I told her, you either can move up here, or we're going to have to not see each other.
And my friends wanted Deb to move down to Florida.
But what did you want, though?
And, Deb made a good point. She said, all my doctors are up here. And it was like Georgetown and all the places in D.C. that were, you know, really good at what they do. So, yeah.
So we did the lesbian second date and four-month date.
No,
I'm just kidding. On. Yeah, so we ended up doing it.
It was
very
though.
Quick, though. But I asked her mom for permission.
I know, so sweet.
You did.
She was so sweet.
Because her mom was adorable. And
she's
you know,
a little Austrian woman.
And her dad had Alzheimer's, and so it was tough.
Mm. Yeah.
And so I told her mom that I was going to take care of Deb. She didn't have to worry about her, and she'd have live in the manner that
I would
she
keep
was
her
used
in
to.
The manner, yeah.
Well, was your mother okay with you being together, being lesbians? I mean, it sounds like it was perfectly normal, but was it?
My mom loved her more than me. She really did. She just loved Deb.
More than you? No. But just tell us what that means so we can understand. Why does she care about Debbie so much?
Why do you feel like she cared about her?
Oh, the two of them just really hit it off, and which is amazing because when I first came out, my mom pretty much, she disowned me. They disowned me. My parents disowned me.
When was that?
Oh,
how old were you?
It was in 83. So how old
22.
Was I?
So you were an adult. You weren't a child.
No.
Uh-huh.
It took me a long time because I'm, you know, a Catholic upbringing. I have to, you know, grow up, get married, have 2.5 kids, and take them to soccer practice. I mean, that's how I grew up. And, you know, and so it was really hard. And I went to my priest. My priest said, you just have to abstain. And I'm like, what the? That doesn't make any sense. I don't think God wants me to be single for my entire life. And anyway.
So that was around 22 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So did you know early on?
I had this feeling, but, you know, I always thought they were just my friends. They were my friends. And I always liked women more than guys. But I tried. And after the second guy proposed to me, I'm like, this is just feels so wrong. It's just wrong. I don't, you know, like, it just didn't feel right. And so I came out and I said, I think I need to be with a woman before I say yes to this guy.
Oh.
I'm not, you know, because there's just something gnawing at me.
That's very courageous, though. I mean, back in those days.
Mm-hmm. I guess, right? But...
I mean...
I just knew...
Anita Bryant just had happened in the 70s, right?
Mm-hmm. If you consider the time, now it would be nothing. I mean, people, you know, let's go hook up with somebody just to see what it's like, and, and it's not. But back then, you couldn't really... You didn't want people to know, because look how they treat you. Mm-hmm. Look how some of these, especially now...
Were you in long-term relationships? Ever?
No.
Like 2-3 years, you said earlier?
No.
Huh. So 19 is a big number.
Mm-hmm. For both of us. Neither one of us have really a track record with anybody, do we?
No, my longest was 3 years. Uh-huh. Yeah, my longest relationship was 3 years.
Really?
Wow. That's interesting. I mean, just to throw a little aside into the mix. I mean, when I met Diana, I was 21 and Di was 19. I'd never had a long-term relationship. Well, I'd never had any relationship, period. You know, and here we are 40 years later.
I know. That's amazing. Guys give us hope.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you're sweet.
You're the matriarchs here.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your businesses.
Oh, well, we've got to hear about your coming out. Debbie's coming out.
Oh, yeah. There really wasn't one in third grade. I fell in love with my teacher. And
what was it about your teacher that you loved?
Mrs. Labeson. She was just so sweet. And God, in the middle of the year, she got pregnant and she had to leave the school. They didn't let her stay. And I was heartbroken. And it was just something weird. And then I always had crushes like on... girls. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the way through from that age. And in high school, I actually had a girlfriend and a boyfriend. And that was kind of fun. And I knew that I needed to try to be straight because that's what society expected. Mm-hmm. And so I was engaged to be married. Converted to Catholicism to marry a Roman Catholic guy. Mm. And ended up breaking up with him a couple of days before the wedding.
Oh.
And
it turns out
he was gay.
Gosh.
Yeah.
What?
So
how did you find that out?
You were saving each other, huh?
I think we tried to save each other.
Well, how did you find out he was gay?
Well, we stayed in touch.
Okay.
Because he came and apologized for some... It was a horrible event. He dumped out our suitcase at my aunt's house and... left me there to go home by myself on our pre-honeymoon. So it was pretty funny. So I can laugh at it now.
Yeah, not at the time.
At the time, I was pretty upset. Yeah.
That was Aunt Dolores.
That was at Aunt Dolores' house, yeah. So pretty much, I always knew I was gay. And I had to be sober before I could rule out men. So I kept trying men as much as I could.
Oh, wow.
And what it was is I like guys, you know? But when they open their mouth, that mentality comes out.
Mentality.
And so, it's just
but that
didn't
but
work.
In those days, I mean, that takes, again, a lot of courage to, you were engaged, the wedding was 2 days later, and you just said no, and you really listened to your heart.
I didn't have a choice.
As messy as it was.
I couldn't.
That was a lot of work, huh?
Can I say something? I think on the West Coast, especially here, it's much more accepted than back East.
It's really hard on the East Coast.
Particularly in Florida and in a southern state. Mm-hmm. It is. Oh. This is like living in another world. I can't tell you enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, shoot, before we got married here, we were engaged for 16 years.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't get married there.
Mom wanted to dance at our wedding.
Oh.
I like to think that...
Yeah, she watched. I know she watched from heaven.
Maybe she danced in heaven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, so that was my coming out story. It really wasn't much of anything.
And you were so cute.
It is a story, though.
Yeah.
Debbie.
Okay.
It is a story.
I'm just happy.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So the last time before... your businesses, we want to give you some time to talk about your businesses and give out contact information, and maybe somebody listening would be interested in what you do and what you have to offer. So Deb, the artist, Deb the fabulous extraordinaire artist.
Deb, formerly known as the artist.
All right, so You want me to give my website
address? Yeah, please.
Okay. So it's debbretton.com.
So how do you spell that?
I knew you were going to ask me
that. Of course.
DEBBRETON.com. And I do abstract and commissions and famous portraits and strong women, which is what I'm on right now. And I think the next one is going to be Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh.
So
who have you done?
How do you create your, how do you come up with the person you're going to, you know, do a portrait of?
I think
of?
Right now I'm just mostly driven by the whole political climate. It really incenses me. It's like, why can't we all just get along? There's bigger things at stake here, like the environment. And so I try, right now I'm focusing. I guess it's maybe the way I'm, I can even handle what's going on, because it's so not normal. And so I think about strong women and inspiring people, because we need that. We need those people. If we see them and it helps us tap into what we have, what we really, we need to come together. We need to go ahead and find our strength, and we all have it in us. You know, for instance, me talking right now, I am so afraid of people, and I'm very introverted. But by painting and talking it out, it lets me express how I feel, and it's cathartic, really.
So who have you painted that comes to your mind?
Well, pink, perfect, because, well,
I asked for it.
The obvious, yeah. And I've done JFK, which was a commissioned piece. Maya Angelou, which is my favorite right now, because Still I Rise, and that really speaks to me. There's a whole lot of other good things that she's written, but that one is most, I guess, prevalent in my mind right now. And of course, Xena, Warrior Princess, baby. I love her. And you know, that really dates me, and I don't give a crap.
Don't forget Wonder Woman in a pussy hat.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yeah. So, you've seen that one, right?
Oh, yeah. We bought the cards.
I have some framed already.
Cards, right. And we bought Maya Angelou.
Yeah. That's
very
right.
Beautiful. Very strong.
I think that we need to stand up. This is enough is enough. This is time for the patriarch to cede to the matriarch. Mm-hmm. We need to bring more compassion to the world, and obviously
kindness.
And kindness.
Mm-hmm. So are you open to painting like personals, like maybe if I want to call you up and say, give me a portrait of myself, do you do that type of work as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow. Well, I encourage everyone to go on to Deb's website, debbretton.com, mm-hmm. and check out her work. And also there's another website that you both created, your wood that you were talking about. True. Debbie, could you talk a little bit about the wood?
Oh, the wood turning. Yeah. There's a site called TheDebs, TheDebs.com. And that is from wood turning. So when we first got together, we both had an interest in wood working, and I had an interest in stained glass. And we ended up woodworking together because I didn't want to turn, but Deb did. And it looked interesting, and I started when she asked me to hold a tool at the lathe one day when she was talking on the phone, and I started turning, and it was fascinating. You just watch the ribbons of wood just peel off, and we started turning, and we got pretty well known. It was kind of cool, and we'd make all kinds of things like platters and bowls and candle holders, and we got pretty well known, and we got chosen to do some commission plates for the Invesco headquarters in Atlanta, Georgia. We were chosen as wood artists from the U.S.
Wow.
So what they did was they took all the different genres of art And they picked one person out of the U.S. for each category, and we were chosen for wood.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
And that was really cool. 10 pieces. And so they told us, you know, it had to be indigenous wood.
And then we were in the magazine.
Yeah, and then we got picked in to go into magazine, Wood Turning Magazine.
The Dreams of a Dolphin platter.
One of those things that
we've
done. It
was like 165 air bubbles.
Yeah, so that's how that all started. And, you know, I've kind of not done my art as much as I had in the past. Just kind of like my music as well. I haven't had time because I was so busy working.
So tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
I have 35 years in technology, and most of that was as a consultant doing technology consulting. And pretty much when I moved out here, I was supposed to keep my job. I was a director of risk management for a global company. And my boss, the day before I moved to California, said, well, we've decided not to let you work remotely from California. So you have a choice. You can stay in Arlington or you can move to California and not have a job.
We had two mortgages.
Yeah, at that point. So, and that was the day before Thanksgiving of 2013. So I basically said, I'm not going to stay there. You know, I said, we've already bought a house in California. Mm. My partner's already moved. I had nothing left in the old house except for one bed that I was sleeping on. And so I moved out here and I took a job consulting. Now that had been a full-time job, but I took a job consulting here. And I drove literally 4.5 hours a day between Rohnert Park and Foster City.
Yeah.
And I did that for my first year in California. So I made no friends because I never had any time. I was getting up at 4:15, leaving the house at 5:15. And getting home and back in bed by 8.
Pay the mortgage.
I had both mortgages.
That's right, yeah.
But I ended up selling the house on the other coast. Mm-hmm. But still, nonetheless.
So tell us about Get Me the Gig.
Yeah. I aged out of consulting. So after my last contract, it was horrible. I was just not treated right. And I basically said, I don't want to consult anymore. I wanted to go back into full-time work. I went on 3 different interviews in San Francisco, and all 3 of them ended the same way. You could do this job in your sleep, but you're not a cultural fit because we're all in our 30s. And I'm like, so pretty much that's what happened there. So I ended up opening my own staffing company, and it's called Get Me the Gig because it's now a gig economy. And what my goal is to help people get jobs, and I don't care how old you are. And I don't, you know, I just want good, talented people to get paid what they deserve. And I have been working now doing this for almost 2 years. And like some of the women that I've worked with ask for money and they should be making like almost double. And when I tell them, I'm going to get you more money, they start crying.
Yeah. What kind of jobs?
Oh, she was one gal was a DBA. So like anything technical, developers, security people, IT security, project managers, business analysts, data analysts, you name it. I have clients all over the world. I'm looking for people who want to leave the U.S. and go live in China and get paid a fortune.
How can people get a hold of you?
Get a hold of, if you're looking for a job and you are highly technical, just drop me an email, debbie@thedebs.com. Or no, debbie@ getmethegig.com.
Either one
will actually work still.
Can you say it again?
It's D Woods. dwoods@getmethegig.com.
dwoods@getmethegig.com.
I'm a little nervous. Can you tell?
No, it's okay, but we wanted to make sure that.
Yeah, dwoods@getmethegig.com.
All right. And if somebody went to your website right now, what would they see?
They would see a little bit about me. They would see a page that lists some of the jobs I have open right now. And I've got several in the D.C. area. I have a couple in Oregon, I think. And I haven't put my China jobs up yet, but I have like a dozen jobs for China.
Wow.
Or more.
Wow.
So
great. We'll have to put the word out to all our techie friends.
Oh, yeah. Anybody, you know, that's really...
That's good.
They have to be good.
Yeah.
Have a good
And I will
work
go
ethic.
Fight for them.
Yeah. I was just going to say,
for the best
salary.
Price I can get. Mm-hmm. No, and benefits, too.
Oh, okay.
I want to make sure people are taken care of. That's the whole idea. I want to give back now.
Mm-hmm. She was a consultant, and a lot of times when you're a consultant, you're treated very poorly.
I want to treat people the way I would have liked to have been treated.
Mm. Yeah.
And so as my employee, that's what would happen. Mm-hmm. You know, they would get treated right.
So that's why we like you two so much. You're so sweet. You're so kind.
You're so sweet.
So loving. And so brilliant.
Well, we like you too.
So is that time? Okay. Is that time of the show?
Thank goodness.
Come on. You've been having, you've been having a great time.
This actually was fun. Thank you.
It wasn't bad.
I mean, you've given advice throughout the show. I've felt it. I've heard it. But, each of you can take a minute or just a minute or less. Some advice based on your experience here today or just something in life that you want to offer to the listeners.
Talk.
Communication. Especially for long-term relationships. I think that would be something we could share that we are fairly good at, I think. It's really important to say what you feel. Be honest.
Yeah.
And talk.
People don't talk.
I mean, we've watched a lot of people break up over the years, and a lot of times it's something simple.
Mm-hmm. And it's like secrets.
Yeah, you're sick as your secret, you know?
What do you mean, secrets, Deb?
Yeah, it's like so-and-so will come to me and say, I'm having a real problem, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, have you spoken to them about it?
Oh.
Well, no, because, you need to talk to them. Don't talk to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I will listen to you and I will help you as much as I can. But what I see is you're not talking to the person that matters. Yeah. You know, that if you love that person, you just have to talk to them. Mm-hmm. And no secrets.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Yeah. And my attitude on life is each day is a gift. And that's why it's called the present. And it's corny, and it's exactly who I am.
It is corny, and
it's exactly
corny.
Who I am.
It's so corny, but I love you.
But you know, that's how you get through life. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been some stuff that we've gone through as a couple. We've had
lots of
death, lots of loss, lots of pain, and every day I wake up and I'm grinning ear to ear, and it's because I'm glad to be on this side of the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gratitude.
Lots of gratitude.
Up here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, well, we want to thank you so much for being on our show tonight.
Really.
Thank you. Both of you. Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. You guys are the inspiration.
Yeah, you're definitely inspirational.
You're sweet.
So remember, like Deb and Debbie, you too can be living proof that through sharing your story, you can support others in being free and living their lives authentically. It's another way to help the world, and like them, you too can be visible and vibrant in telling your story. This is Diana and Sheridan, and we'll be back next month. Until then,
good night.
Can't stop me now, and you can't.